And let's go to an old friend here, Brian Morris, Director of Plain Reason and Atheist. Hello, Brian.
Indeed. Yes, hello, Peter. Good to be with you.
How's the world of atheism?
That's really going very well, actually, but unfortunately on the side of secularism, it's not going so well. Mm. I was listening to you earlier on, and you were talking about Turkey and Erdogan.
Oh,
and
shocking.
Look, that's not even the start of it. I mean, the
disgusting.
New elections in Poland and all over the world, all Western countries are going further and further to the right, so it's a real problem, because the first thing to suffer, of course, with all of that is the whole secular philosophy.
Why do... Now, see, America is ostensibly a Christian nation. It has God on its money, Brian.
That's right.
In God we trust.
In God we
trust. Every note. Yet I can never quite understand why Trump is a sexual libertine and discusses women in the most appalling pejorative manner.
Yep.
And yet the... fundamentalist Christians, the Pentecostalists, who are a very loud voice and loud lobby in America, like this man and vote for him.
Well, it just shows how blind religion can be, because it contravenes just about every tenet of Christianity, and simply because he's an economic and social, mainly social conservative, they're happy to blot out all the rest and just sing his praises. Don't forget, we've got a Pentecostal Prime Minister in Australia too. So it's really taking off all around the world, and we're seeing the unfortunate effects of it.
But, I mean, why shouldn't we have a Prime Minister?
A couple of good reasons is that it's not just the Prime Minister. The problem really goes back to an issue that we've talked about before. Is that Australia actually has one of the most Christianised governments in the Western world. You've only got to look through the current Liberal National Party. And they identify very, very strongly with that whole Christian ethic. Well, we saw the incredible farrago when Australia was really trying to get same-sex marriage legalised, and it was only through Malcolm Turnbull by offering a sop to the Christian right to have Philip Ruddock organise that religious review, which has now resulted in something that's sitting on the Prime Minister's table once we get over some of this coronavirus scare and the panic with all of that.
They weren't releasing it even before then. I mean, it's never been released. And, I mean, it's been leaked a bit, but it's never been released, has it?
Oh, it has. It has.
No.
Well over a year ago. But,
oh, was it?
But what's come out of it, though, Peter, is this wonderful piece of legislation or a bill to legislate called the Religious Discrimination Act.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a number of goes at this over the last 12 months. And the second draft, people can go and read this incredible document on the government website.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what it really does is not just promote the idea of religious freedom, which of course the secularists and atheists support as well, mm-hmm. because that goes right across the board.
Yes.
But what it does do is to give extra special privileges to religious organizations that you're running religious schools or hospitals or religious aged care homes. They will then have the power to hire and fire anybody that doesn't agree with their religious ethos.
But they did anyway. They did before.
Well, it was a bit vague because it was protected under anti-discrimination law.
But no, it wasn't, because a church, a school or a church, had the exemption. You know, if they didn't like gay, they didn't agree with gay people or divorced people, they didn't have to. Divorced people is a bad example now, but if the person was not aligned with their views, they needn't be employed or they could be let go.
Yeah, but if you look at the new bill, Peter, I mean, it really strengthens their hand incredibly. Mm-hmm. And I just think, again, from a secular point of view, from secularism, we're really trying to promote a whole range of progressive legislation. I mean, we've still got to overcome this problem of religious objection to voluntary euthanasia, all those people that, you know, that really want to end their life in a dignified way, the people that are going into dementia or have terminal disease of some description.
Mm-hmm.
the outcry from these people is getting quite is getting very loud. And the same thing with abortion. We've got chaplains in schools, which people are still concerned about. And of course, the general broad run of more and more religious schools. We already have 40% of Australian high school kids that are being taught in religious schools. Well, for a secular country, it's really quite a strange situation that we face.
I don't understand Brian Morris here of Plain Reason. I don't understand why, for example, a church-run school, which pleads ecumenism and will take students from all kinds of faiths, then maintains the ability to sack an employee because they're not what the school wants in terms of their prescribed view of the world. Ethos, yes.
Yeah, and that's the word that they use in the bill, you know, in the proposed legislation. I mean,
but none of this, the religious discrimination, none of this, the Ruddock review has been enacted, has it?
Well, what I'm saying is the 20 recommendations that Philip Ruddock passed down over 80 months ago is now morphed into this Religious Discrimination Act, which has been drafted by Christian Porter, the Attorney General. I mean, been working feverishly over the last 12 months and released a couple of drafts that the legal profession just kicked it out of the ballpark because it was just so full of legalistic errors. And I know, but it's got to a stage, Peter, where once the time is right, the current government will try and ram this through Parliament.
Brian Morris here. It's curious that, and the latest surveys we've had have shown that we are much less religious than we ever were. It is a much more secular society. Church going is at an all-time low in the history of our nation.
Yeah, now about 8%.
And throughout the Western world, I think.
Yeah.
Yet, the largely fundamentalist Christians maintain a very strident voice.
They do. They do. Because they wield a tremendous amount of political power. I mean, people like Brian Houston, who runs Hillsong in Sydney, and we've got
author of the book We Need More Money.
Yes,
sorry, You Need More Money. It was one of his books, which was suppressed in Australia. I managed to get a copy. It was still available in England, but suppressed.
But he's just one. I mean, you've still got the Australian Christian Lobby. Every day they're walking the corridors of Parliament, lobbying any MP or minister they can get their hands on. I mean, and they're listened to because people, a lot of parliamentarians think that they have a huge congregation. Well, they don't. I mean, they just don't. And this is the problem. And we, organisations like the National Secular Lobby, you know, which is really set up to try and be some sort of counter to the to the Christian lobby, but of course we just don't have it anywhere near the funds or the general support, except very much the moral and public support that we get. For instance, I mean, the poll that was organised, the Ipsos poll, very well respected national poll, the result that they had a couple of years ago was that 78% of the Australian public wanted to separate religion from the business of government. Now, within that 78%, I mean, there's an awful lot of Christians. So we certainly don't tar all Christians with the same brush, or religious people. We have great respect for the fact that they can believe what they wish. But our problem is, you've already just mentioned that, is that that really right-wing Christian group, the creationists and the intelligent design people, number about 25% of the Australian population, 25 to 30% of the Australian population. And that seems to carry an incredible amount of weight politically.
Faith used to be a private matter. You know, it wasn't so public.
Exactly. I guess that's our argument all along. And that's why we really point to some of the Scandinavian countries, which ostensibly and culturally, they're all Lutheran. But they've managed over the last 20, 30 years to respect people who have a Lutheran faith, but it's become personal and private, not sort of public and predatory, public and predatory. Mm. And that's the problem that we have at the moment, is that predatory Christianity, that Pentecostal group, that is really creating an awful lot of problems with progressive legislation.
Pentecostalism is extremely exclusive. It's not our way or the highway, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and beware if you get in their way, because they're very powerful, very powerful. Again, just look at organisations like Hillsong. And
then again, we have, you know, the Labour Party seems to be in the thrall of right-wing Catholics.
That's true too. It's not just the Liberal National Party. I mean, the Labour Party is very much on our mailing list as well, because a number of prominent shadow ministers are very strong Catholics.
It's like the DLP all over again, really.
Well, that's where they all came from. Mm, I mean, first of all, they gravitated to the Liberal Party, but...
Speaking of which, Christopher Pyne writes in his latest book, The Insider,
yep.
He describes... Now, I'm slightly paraphrasing here from memory. He describes the Catholic Church as the greatest force for good in the history of mankind.
Right, OK. Well... Everyone is entitled to their opinion, Peter, but facts speak for themselves. And
I was thinking of the victims of the Spanish Inquisition and many Inquisitions who would beg to differ, the fact that the Pope finally in the 16th century allowed that the South American Indians were human.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, they may disagree with Christopher Pyne here.
And, of course, as an atheist, I have to say that it's a bit rich when religious people say, look, you should respect our religion. Well, we respect people in their religion. People can believe what they like. But, of course, they were burning and torturing atheists for hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, the heretics were just not the flavour of the month.
Having said that, I mean, it's... You know, he does have a point in the sense that modern education is indivisible from the Jesuits, and look at what the Sisters of St. Joseph have done here in Australia in terms of education and social welfare. There is good and bad in everything. I'm sure there's good and bad in atheism. I'm a bit over the evangelist atheist. That seems to have calmed down a bit now, Brian. But they were becoming as bad as the people they were opposing.
Yeah, except we do have a problem, as we've already identified, with the general move to conservatism, which tends to link up very strongly with people of a strong religious base. Australia's made incredible gains in terms of progressive legislation over recent decades. But there is no question at all that on the right of the Catholic Church and certainly the evangelist, Pentecostals and all the rest, really make it quite clear on their websites to wind back and to cancel out progressive legislation in Australia that we have progressed over the last few decades. Mm. Want to make abortion completely illegal again. There's no question that voluntary assisted dying would ever come in and all of those sorts of progressive things would be wound back. Well, I think somebody's got to really stand up and say, no, we really need to put a strong case of why we need to move forward in a progressive way.
I distrust people who don't doubt. Do you doubt, Brian?
We all have doubts about a lot of things, Peter.
But you don't doubt your lack of faith.
Faith is a very difficult word. There are many meanings to faith. And,
yes.
Of course, the faith that I have... in the fact that the sun is going to rise again tomorrow,
yes,
and the whole basis of science in proving that evolution is factually correct. It's really a faith that's based on evidence. And the other definition of faith, of course, is the one that relates to religion. Strong religious belief in doctrines of a religion based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. They're entirely different things.
One good thing that's come out of modern atheism, I think, is that people with religious faith don't have a monopoly on values. They're not the only people with values. You can, of course, be an atheist and have a very strong system of values.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's innate. there are so many branches of science that really make it quite clear that original hunter-gatherers had a basic community values and morality. Otherwise, we'd never survive to dominate the earth the way that we have.
I agree with your guest in relation to religion in schools and our education. It's ridiculous that we have such a high percentage of religious and private schools, easily resolved if we make all schools public. Yes. And Mark saying, happy for religious schools to operate, however, they shouldn't have a cent of my taxpayer dollars. That is a feeling, of course.
Last year, of course, that was $14 billion.
Anne's saying, don't send people to St. Vincent de Paul to volunteer if you don't care about people. And there is an example of of charity, which which is a manifestation of the church. As we said before, there's good and bad here.
Yeah, but I would point out there, though, Peter, that of all the charities, only 40% actually are religious charities. The other 60% are non-religious. So there's an incredible amount of fantastic charitable work done by organisations like the Smith Family, for instance, which is not a religious organisation.
And indeed, governments have, they've kind of privatised the social welfare to the extent that, they're quite happy for religious institutions, centre care or whatever, centre care, the Catholic Church, community, whatever the Uniting Care, Wesley, what is now called, Anglicare, etc., which are heavily funded by government to do social welfare work.
And it's a shame that more, government dollars in terms of charities don't go to secular organisations. I mean,
Brian, good to have you on. Thank you for your point of view, as ever.
Always happy to talk to you, Peter. Thank you.
On ya.